Hello, students, and welcome to Class of X, the free internet course on how to read and enjoy the X-Men comics better. I'm your teacher and host, John Reisinger, and today we are talking about something very exciting. We are talking about the true and real origins of Marvel's most popular mutant ever, Wolverine. We did a little bit of a Deadpool Origins episode previously in preparation for the upcoming release of Wolverine and Deadpool. Or is it Deadpool and Wolverine? I don't remember how actually that order goes, and I'm sure they would argue over how the order should go. But I realized we hadn't ever gone over Wolverine's actual origins, which was a little bit of a controversial release back in 2001. The minds of Bill Hamas and Paul Jenkins and Joe Quesada came up with a miniseries, a six-part miniseries called Origin. I remember being so hyped about this release. It had been for 27 years, since 1974, a mystery what Wolverine's true and real origins were. At best, we knew some snippets of his past, and at the very least that he had spent time as part of Canada's experimental super soldier program, Weapon X, part of Department H, and that through that process, in order to control him as a super soldier, they had scrambled his memories. And in fact, that they had kind of a little bit of a Winter Soldier system where after missions, they would just like totally, put a blender in those nodes of his brains and be done with it. The release of the very successful at the time X-Men film, the comic writers knew that if they didn't go ahead and put the origins to paper, that the films would fill that in for them, and they didn't want that to happen. They figured it was best if the comics are the ones that are leading the canon of the characters, and I agree with that sentiment. I think it's totally cool and fine when films do an adaptation of these origins. In fact, if you watched X-Men Origins Wolverine, you got a little bit of an adaptation of what the story is, but even that adaptation had to truncate it a ton and got it very differently, and kind of made it work for the plans for their film. Spoiler, X-Men Origins Wolverine is very far from canonically accurate. It's very, very far. I was about to say it was a fun movie. It was a fun movie in that it was bad. While I prefaced this whole episode by saying it's the controversial release of Wolverine's Origins, I'll at least tell you where I plant my flag. I enjoy this miniseries, and I think that this was actually a very good origin story. I've made it clear that there are certain characters I think benefit from their origin staying a mystery, namely Mystique. I'm really just crossing my fingers that no one thinks that they figured it out and they want to tell us the mystery of Mystique. I think that would be a mistake. But I also know that with the longevity of these characters, it's almost inevitable that someone takes a stab at it. But this one, I think a lot of people, I've heard a lot of, X-Men fans and Wolverine fans kind of moan about this story. And I'm just letting you know that in case, like, you have those feelings about it, you're valid. But we're going to hear about this story from someone who enjoyed it. 2001, I would have been like 17 years old. And so I was really hyped to be buying this series. I wish I still had my original issues of it. I don't know where those went. I might have been reading it digital at the time. I don't know where we were with digital comics in 2001. I think it's done with love. I think it's done with care for the character. It's got a lot of fan service in it, but I don't feel like it overdoes it. And so I'm here to do it. We're going to do a little story time. That's what we do here at Class of X. This is like when you're in class in school and the teacher like turns down the lights and goes, okay, we're going to read through. I'm going to read you a story and everyone can just kind of chill out. And as long as you pay attention and don't fall asleep, then this can be a kind of a relaxing day in class. Although with the podcast, some people do listen to podcasts to fall asleep too. So if you do listen to this before bed, it's okay if you go to sleep. But you're going to miss all the juicy details of where Logan came from. Where did this man come from? He did, in fact, come from Canada. We met him in Canada, fighting the Hulk and the Wendigo in the Incredible Hulk series in 1974. And they decided that I'm glad that they didn't go like, oh, he immigrated to Canada. He's actually American. No, I think part of Wolverine's like appeal is that he isn't American, that he is a Canadian, that he is a foreigner, that he isn't, necessarily at least from the States. But he lives here most of the time. We find ourselves in Alberta, Canada, October 12th, 1832, which, if I do math very quickly, that's, 168 plus 24, that would be 92. He's 192 years old. Quick math, if I did that right. So Wolverine, oh, when will he be 200? Then he'll be 208 years. So 2032, Wolverine will be 200 years old. If Marvel doesn't make a big event about that, I'm going to be so sad. I'll make a big event about that. In 8 years, we're going to have a Wolverine's, second centennial. I was thinking millennium. October 12th, 1832. He's a fall baby. He was born 1 month after me. 1 month after me and about 150 years before. He was born on a quaint little estate called the Howlett Estate. I say quaint cheekishly. Wolverine was rich. His family came from wealth. They were they lived in like a castle, very Downton Abbey vibes, if Downton Abbey took place in Canada. And we're kind of introduced at the beginning of this story to a very important character and a very important person in Wolverine's life when he was born, a girl named Rose. Mr. Kenneth, who's kind of like a worker on the estate, brings up Rose, who's here to be play caretaker of the frail young child of the Howlett's family. The Howlett family is a story of tragedy, and we are introduced to them as a family of tragedy, and tragedy will continue to follow them as tragedy follows Wolverine. He is a tragic story. He is the lone samurai. He is the man who can never fully be happy. He is the man who is meant to suffer. He is meant to feel pain. I say this from a literary standpoint. In fact, I just finally caught up on the final run of Benjamin Percy's Wolverine from the Krakoan era, and it ended with the Sabretooth War. It was a very satisfying, it was like a 10-parter of like the culmination of, it was like the end of Wolverine and Sabretooth's story of the Krakoan Age. And I appreciate that I read that after I read Fall of House of X and Rise of Powers of 10, because I really didn't like Fall of House of X and Rise of Powers of 10. That needs a shorter name. Hox Pox is so nice. What is it? Fahox Repox. It's not as good. I'm glad I read that afterwards, because that was very satisfying. It was a very satisfying ending. It was a very good ending. Benjamin Percy might be one of the best writers of Wolverine in history, in my opinion. I feel like this is a guy that really knew this character and really knew what he wanted to do this character in a nice little 50-issue run. And I feel like Paul Jenkins, who was in charge of script for Origin, also knew Wolverine. Plot was helped on by Bill and Joe, but Paul Jenkins was the one who's in charge of script for this, and I think he did a fantastic job. I really do like it. And Andy Kubert, I love the art in this story. The art in this story is so good. Richard Eisenhoff did the colors, and those are also beautiful. And I think that's what also won me over about this story, was that it was satisfying, it was titular, and it was beautiful. It has an old-timey feel, but mixed with like modern quality. It's fantastic. But again, we're meeting the Howlett family, whose tragedy is part of their story. They had a son prior to the current son that's living in the house, but he died when he was young, and the mom was sent like to the madhouse, and she's back now, but she's not the same. She's a very absent mother. She's got problems with the loss of a child, and now she can't find herself to care for another child. So she's kind of a little not there. We learn about that there is a Howlett Senior who is the one who's like the one who you know made the money, I think is what they're inferring, and he's given his money to his son. The mother is Elizabeth Howlett and the son is James Howlett. And then there's the Master Howlett of who's the head of the house and who's the father of James Howlett. And then we also meet the kind of it's like a farmhand kind of character. He's a grungy dude and his name is Thomas Logan, but they call him Logan a lot. And we're kind of led to believe that there's a chance that his son is who we're going to be following here. And his son only goes by a nickname Dog, which, lines up with a lot of the symbology and nicknames and themes of Wolverine. Dog, Rose, and James become like Milo and Otis style best friends. James is frail, allergic to everything under the sun, constantly not being able to be outside for very long, can't be in the sun for very long, can't be in the water for very long, can't eat very many things. They kind of all get along together as young kids are able to do. But there's kind of a schism between them because at the end of the day, as Dog and Rose and James play, Rose and James go home to their palace and Dog must go home to his shack with a drunken and belligerent father. Logan also, as a note, looks like a modern Wolverine with the very iconic sideburns and pointy hair. So again, it's very unclear at this point, like who is the real child we're going to be following. They have a little bit of an incident at the river together, the kids do, where James, kind of poking fun at Dog liking Rose, falls into the water, becomes injured because of it. And that kind of gets Dog in trouble for some reason, mostly because his dad, the Howletts are kind of upset that these boys were roughing around and now, James is hurt. And so, Thomas, or Logan, takes it out on him, which is, kind of a precursor to, Dog being a product of abuse. I was blanking for a while there. John Howlett is the father. Couldn't remember what they're all very like common white bread names, and I'm getting them all mixed up. So John Howlett is the dad. That is preceded by a Christmas incident where the Howletts are having their Christmas, and which is obviously picturesque and beautiful and fun and every kid's dreams, very Harry Potter Christmas. Dog is kind of looking sad in the window, and John Howlett is a very honorable and generous man, much to his father's chagrin, who wishes he was a hard, businessman. He gives Dog a toy. This issue kind of ends with Dog revealing the toy to his father and his father hating the fact that Dog continues to hang around these people who they think that they're better than Logan, which they are. It really kind of ends with everyone in the story being unhappy because Thomas beats the crap out of his son and John's father, Senior Howlett, is mad at John for being generous and giving and kind. James is just kind of left in the hallway listening to his family argue and being sad while he holds his very important and precious Christmas toy, a new puppy, who is very important to him. We move on to part two titled The Inner Child. Don't worry, things ended badly in issue one and they've just gotten worse. Dog has 100% turned out more and more like his father. Hallett Sr. is still fighting with his son constantly. James is now reaching a certain age where John is thinking that he needs to learn to run the estate, but he's like sicker than ever. And it's really very clear that the only good thing in his life and the only like friend that he stays with all the time is dog. His dog. God, that's going to be confusing. His little puppy. I'll say puppy. He's got a puppy that he loves and it's his best thing. We get a little bit in this issue, kind of a window into the mystery of Elizabeth, the mother, because Rose kind of happens upon her while she's getting dressed with her maiden and sees these mysterious scars over Elizabeth's back. And I'll be honest, we haven't really seen much of Elizabeth at this point. She's an absent mother. James pines to have time with her, but she basically ignores him completely and is lost in her own mind. We don't really get the full answers on what these scars are, but I have a little bit of a theory, and I'll get to the theory at the end of this issue. But we see these scars. It's mystery is building. Dog is being a punk at this point and kind of starts harassing Rose. He likes Rose and he liked her as a kid. That's why James was poking fun at him before in the watering hole incident. But now he doesn't know how to treat a person right, because his dad hasn't taught him how to, because his dad has taught him that being drunk and belligerent is the way to do things. And he's kind of harassing Rose, but gets caught by James, who tells John on him, and John gets so mad at Logan for having a ruffian for a son and not, kind of raising him well. As pain begets pain, instead of Logan taking this as inspiration to finally teach his son manners and respect for people, he just teaches him that you have to inflict your own scars on other people, and beats him to the point where Dog gets the idea that he has to take this out on James now. It's a great little cycle of hurt that people do in this story. I hate this part of the story. Dog takes his kind of frustration out on James by, in fact, killing James's dog. You never liked. I'm letting you know right now, the dog dies. The dog dies in this issue. It's a John Wick story. And of course, that doesn't fix things. Now, of course, James is going to tell his family that Dog killed his puppy. And then John says, like, this is the last straw, Logan. I told you, you're fired now. And of course, Logan, he don't got anger management skills. He doesn't. His anger management is to get tipsy and go do some damage. And so they do. The Logans kind of, gun up, and they assault the Howlett house at night. And this is where we learn a little bit about of the saucy backstory of Logan and Elizabeth Howlett. This is where we find out that they had a relationship prior, and were hinted at that they likely had kids, and that even the first kid that died in the Howlett house could have been their kid, and that even Dog is probably their kid. So Thomas is here to try to steal away Elizabeth, who's like, you're crazy. Yes, we had a thing, but I'm not leaving this. John walks in on this, and it just makes this a bad situation worse. What was supposed to be a clandestine, kind of elope situation turns into a full-on civil fight. Civil and uncivil. So John walks in on all this. James then walks in on this, and that kind of escalates and distracts a situation where John gets shot. We don't find out till much later that whether his claims are true or not, Dog claims to have been the one who shot John. Dog almost shoots like a grieving James as well, who's now, beside himself. But James actually attacks, kind of like hits Dog, and looks like he just hits him in the face. But the damage doesn't stop there. James also then finds the rage within as his dad is dead on the floor from gunshots, and attacks Logan And this is where his powers fully are shown to have manifest for the first time. And he has bone claws coming out of his hands, which, as a reminder, that wasn't part of Wolverine's necessary original origins. His real origins were that the claws were like part of his gloves, but then they made the claws part of his hands. But then they made the claws something that was given to him by the Weapon X program that put adamantium on him. And then later on, we find out when Magneto pulls the adamantium from his body that the claws are part of him. And that was in the 90s. We covered that in a previous episode. And so, yeah, this episode ends with, like, you know, the primordial bestial cry from James as he howls to the moon around two dead dads. Logan and John are now gone. Part three picks up right from there, titled The Beast Within. And Elizabeth kind of, again, spills a little bit more tea where she keeps saying, "Not again, not you too." And the way that I'm translating this, a lot of this story I feel like is open to some translation. So if I read this differently than you, I'd love to hear it. If you want to do it in the comments on the Patreon, I'd love to hear if there's anything that you read differently. But she keeps saying, "Not again, not you too." And I'm reading this as their other son was a mutant, which to me could be that he died because of his mutation, or he died because he was an abomination. I say died because of his mutation is like maybe like some people, some mutants, you know, die because their mutant power is dangerous. But this might be something where it, like, you know, it was like a Nightcrawler kind of incident where his manifestation was when he was born, as opposed to a moment of trauma or puberty. As this is for James, and his older brother might have been something that was like discarded. Hard to say. Dog is deformed because when James hit him, his claws were out, and he left like scars all over his face. Which I think there was a character like in the Disney Gargoyles show that had the same kind of situation where he was permanently scarred by Goliath. James is run out of the house by his mom. Rose goes after James. And so all that's left is the two dead bodies in Elizabeth's room and Elizabeth and Dog. And Elizabeth takes herself out of the picture as well, leaving Dog to kind of be the only witness left of this situation. Rose kind of picks up the reins of taking care of James, who she is shocked to find out is more than human, but can't help but feel still responsible for. James is also manifesting these kind of amnesiac trauma symptoms where he's not fully remembering what happened in that room, where he is, what day it is, stuff like that, or even who Rose is. Everything kind of leads to the police getting Howlett Sr. involved, and he manages to get a false confession from Dog for a moment, that where Dog says that Rose is the one who did it. Rose had the gun. Rose is the one who's the reason that Mr. Howlett Sr. no longer has any heirs. And so that doesn't last very long because Rose finally, you know, without anywhere to go because her family won't even take her in, heads back to the Howlett estate and finds the senior Howlett. But she shows him James's claws and kind of reveals that the situation is much more complicated than just the lies of that little ruffian. However, the senior leader of the Howlett house at this point offers the last bit of generosity he can give to his grandson by giving him money and telling Rose to take him to a train and get out of here, and saying that he's disowning him at this point and that he has no grandson. He has no heirs. And so they leave. And this is where we get the first glimpse of the location we're in, which is that we're in Alberta, British Columbia. James heals. This is a miraculous first manifestation of his healing factor. And his brain is forgetting more and more of like what happened, and this is kind of alluded to in my opinion as like his brain healing as well. His brain is protecting him from these memories. You know, trauma is damage. Trauma is, brain hurt. And so I think this is his healing factor. It's kind of a little bit like how Deadpool's a little crazy because his brain keeps healing over itself, which the brain is not typically supposed to do. The brain doesn't reform, you know, while like in the ways that like a scar, it's not typically going to, you know, heal up the way that scar tissue on your arm is going to do the same thing. It's a little bit more important than your skin, your brain matter. It's got a lot more complicated functions. I also don't know how biology works, so don't listen to me at all as I talk about anatomy that I'm completely a moron about. We head to the northern part of Canada. We are in the snow. We are in the forest. We are in the mines, and we meet Smitty, who's a very important character. He's kind of going to be James's first, like, pseudo rival, new father figure, friend, mentor, almost kind of a Jenkins said that he's kind of a little bit like, there's a lot of ripple effects of like mirrors in this story, and and Smitty is kind of like James is now that's Wolverine. Didn't make that very clear. James Howlett is Wolverine's real name. And so it wasn't Dog. Dog isn't the one. Obviously, the kid who had bone claws come out, that's Wolverine. I feel like I didn't need to say that, but I wanted to say it just so I said it. And so this is like Cyclops is who Smitty is. Smitty is kind of like the first Cyclops character. And this is where Rose, to cover their tracks, names him Logan. Just Logan, like Madonna. And so that's kind of like we're getting this whole six-issue series is about like little bits of like where these origins of Wolverine comes from, you know, the bone claws. And now, Logan's name is, Rose gave it to him, and he goes by that name from that point on. Basically, if I say James or Logan, I'm referring to the same person. Part four, Heaven and Hell. We kind of, go a little bit forward into like their quarry life. We meet a character named Cookie, who's going to be kind of an antagonist character for the remainder of the story. He's a bad chef who keeps like stealing from people. And we also learn that Smitty, who's in charge of all of this whole mess, they're at this rock quarry. He's the one who uses the term bub. So Wolverine's love of the word bub, that came from Smitty. Again, pain begets pain, and Cookie is part of that cycle now. Cookie gets, kind of pushed around by his friends, so he pushes around James, because James is weaker than him. So that's how you deal with your pain. Take it out on weaker people. He has this like prank on James while he's like struggling with a wheelbarrow. He fights him in the snow over food. This is also the first time someone calls Logan, a runt, which is a term that Sabretooth constantly calls him. So whether Sabretooth is aware that he is hearkening back to this name that Logan has from his past, it's not clear, but at the very least, while Sabretooth does it, he is triggering Wolverine every time he does that. We jump about 2 years, they say 2 summers later. James is now much bigger, older, and you know, it's clear that his healing factor, it's kind of been said that like Wolverine's healing factor is constantly making him like peak physical condition, because it's like that's basically what muscle growth is healing. It's breaking down and healing. And he has like unlimited stamina because his body just keeps healing through, you know, the things that make us fatigued. And so he's turning into a stacked hot hunter. He hunts like a deer in this issue. He's fully on denying his past, partially, I think, out of choice, but partially out of like his mind went, nope, we're not going to remember that. He's happy to be ignorant and tapping into this new urge he has to be in the wild and be on the hunt. 2 years later, Cookie still has beef with Logan. And while Cookie keeps shorting people on their food, James is now making him look even worse by providing people with certain stuff because he's hunting. He's like giving people like pieces of deer so they don't go hungry. While Cookie is a bad cook. In fact, Cookie takes this out on him, and Smitty is the one who interjects here and saves him from the fight. Logan, lots of names. Logan is at this point finding himself, but still not finding his ability to fight back. But he does wander into the woods after this fight, and this is where Logan first finds wolves. Wolves are a very important part of Wolverine's story. I don't know if it's on purpose because his name is Wolverine, if he's like wolves, even though they're not related. But I don't think they're related. I think the Wolverine's like a rodent. I don't know what a Wolverine is. Don't talk to me about Wolverines. What are Wolverines? Are they a rodent? I'm gonna have to look that up in a second. But he meets the wolves here, and this is kind of like where he finds himself, and he's like, I want to be a part of these guys. There's a part of me that connects with this pack. And he almost gets in a fight with what is kind of clear like this alpha wolf thing, even though we've debunked the whole alpha wolf thing that people thought was true for forever. We're still in the 2001, so people still think that's a thing. He almost looks like he faints, but I think he kind of submits to this wolf, and it's a way of him, you know, entering himself into this pack. And so this is where Wolverine finally finds wolves to be his friends. And then we jump to part 5, which is titled Revelation. And we start off with this really wonderful recitation of William Blake's Tiger poem. Is it called Tiger, Tiger? Or is it called Tigress? I can't remember. But Rose is reading this poem while we see James full-fledged with his pack and being, you know, part of the wolves, being feral, being wild. And all the while, Rose and Smitty are now, I guess, as time has passed, becoming kind of a thing, kind of an item. That's going to be awkward because Logan is very attached to Rose. It's not clear whether it's in a romantic way. It's kind of insinuated as a romantic way. He loves her. She's important to him. But Smitty's also bonding with James over time. Like I said, Logan. Smitty is Logan's father figure and mentor as well. He teaches him how to use the dynamite. Smitty's dynamite guy hurt himself. So now Logan, who is not an idiot, seems to be a good person for him to give that responsibility to. So now he handles all the dynamite. And the quarrymen, like the other guys who are in the village, they say Logan is like turning into the best worker. He digs like nobody other. He digs like a Wolverine going for roots. He's a Wolverine. And this is where he gets that nickname, is Wolverine. So there, more origin of where it came from, which I like. It's fun. He's a little digger. Because it's never been made very clear why he's called Wolverine, because it doesn't make sense. Now we know. Logan has found a home. He's becoming a man. He's even got a nickname amongst the group called Little Smitty. He's like the other leader of the group. Cookie does not like this. He's going to continue to be a thorn in Logan's side, and he sabotages a dynamite fuse by cutting it. He's a real tool. And because of this, the dynamite goes off earlier than planned, and there's like a cave-in. 5 men die. Smitty thinks that Logan's going to be dead and that he's going to lose more men, and he's like desperately trying to find him, and they're trying to like pull rocks out of this cave-in, and they're like, there's no way someone could have lived. We all know Logan survives. And he does, and he saved a young boy also. And he's like almost unscathed and survived it miraculously. Very Superman, you know, like, how did you not die from that bullet? And this is where Smitty brings him a book. As he's kind of like taking him out of the quarry and taking him back to the cabin. He's like, I don't care if you're different. I don't care if there's mystery to you. I'm glad you're okay. Here's a book from Nagasaki, Japan, and it's about samurais. So Smitty is the source of a lot of Wolverine's kind of origins and the building blocks that make him who he is, as the way of the samurai is Wolverine's story. The lone samurai he's a ronin is what Wolverine is referred to often. Cookie then keeps doing bad things, and Logan eventually finds him stealing stuff from the homes of the men who died in the quarry. And Logan knows that Cookie is the one who sabotaged this. And you know, he finally stands up to him, and he finally you know, knows that enough is enough, and you know, gives that beat down he's been wanting to do with Cookie for a while. And he's so excited about it. He lets Cookie live. Shouldn't. If he didn't let Cookie live, his life would be better. He goes to tell Rose, And this is when he happens upon Rose and Smitty kissing. And this is very sad for Logan because he knows that he's fully lost Rose. And again, these are people who don't know how to deal with their emotions in mature ways. And so Logan goes into the woods, and this is where he becomes the alpha wolf, and the wolf submits to him, and now he's in charge of the wolves. But twist at the end of issue 5, Dog is alive. The grandfather, the senior Howlett, lets slip that the boy is alive and Rose has him, and Dog goes on the hunt for Logan. And he's permanently scarred. He's got those scars all over his face. Part 6, Dust to Dust. Logan, like I said, is fully losing Rose. She's his only constant, but he can't hold on to her. This is his first redhead. He's going to lose to another man. This is, again, I told you it was like a Cyclops like fill-in, and Rose is like a Jean Grey. And so this is him learning that he can't hold on to redheads, but he really likes them. Smitty, when they're in the bar, as Dog is on the hunt for Logan, accidentally lets spill to, he doesn't know it's Dog he's talking to, but he lets him slip that, he's about to leave. He's going to take this girl. We're going to go to the city, and we're going to get out of here. Finally, I've got this girl. We're going to leave. What's her name? Rose. And so Dog is now hot on the trail, because he knows that, this is who he's been looking for. But Smitty needs money to get out of town, and there's a cage match fight that's going on. And so everyone signs up for the cage match. It's very X-Men number one. Like I said, X-Men number one was kind of an instigator of why this story had to be written. And if you guys remember the beginning of X-Men one, Wolverine's in kind of a cage match, which is a common thing that Wolverine does. There's a lot of like fighting for monies. They all fight in the cage match because Smitty needs money, and Logan thinks that this is, it seems like Logan is like, I'm gonna sign up so you can't steal Rose. It seems like he's gonna do it, like he's like, I'm gonna win. Cookie also signs up, but Logan and Cookie fight, and even though Cookie cheats because Dog gave him money and brass knuckles to get this fight done, Logan hands him his butt again. Should have killed him, doesn't, almost does. Logan then fights Smitty and hands Smitty's butt to him, makes it look like he's winning, makes it look like he's angry at Smitty, makes it look like this is a one-sided fight, but then does the honorable thing, as Logan will continue to do. He's constantly a man of honor, and he tells Smitty to, like, knock me out and make this look good. And Smitty wins, and he gets the money, and this is the money that he needs to get Rose out of this hellhole. As Smitty goes, to take Rose, this is where Dog finally brings the fight of the fight, the final fight, to James. And he screams at him, you stole my name. And Logan doesn't recognize him. Logan isn't like fully nothing. Not everything has come back yet. This is big Sabretooth vibes. Jenkins was clear also that Dog was an interjection for Sabretooth. Some people thought it might have been Sabretooth, like this is the origin of Sabretooth, but it turns out it's not. It's not the origin of Sabretooth. Dog's life is very similar to Sabretooth's origin. He had an abusive life and an abusive father, but they're not this connected. I think X-Men Origins Wolverine, the film, tried to make them that connected. Dog fights Logan, and he kind of pulls a Lion King Scar moment, and he has Logan on the ropes, and instead of finishing the fight, he kind of goes, I killed your father. And that gives Logan the motivation to fight back. And this is where, for the first time since that fateful day on the Howlett estate, Logan pops his claws. And Rose is like, no. Everyone is shocked this man has bone claws. And Rose runs in to try to stop this and skewers herself on Logan's claws kills herself. Logan obviously retreats to the woods. And this is where he goes full feral, full wild. He's lost to the woods, and he's lost to humanity for a long time. And this is kind of like alluding to, like, this is where Weapon X finally finds him. Cookie No, sorry. Smitty goes after him, trying to find him, because he's lost everything but Logan. And he's like, I need you, Logan. We lost Rose. But he never finds him. He's fully lost in the woods. And the reason why we never got this story, the reason why no one knows Logan's origins, Rose wrote it all down. Rose wrote a diary. Rose wrote a book on the origins of Wolverine. And then Cookie threw it in the fireplace as he was ransacking their house after the death of Rose. And that's the origin of Wolverine. He was an estate baby. He was a Canadian royalty. He was rich. But his life is a story of tragedy and will remain a story of tragedy. And you know, but there's, you know, he gets his good moments. That's what I liked about the Benjamin Percy run, was that it really was about him finding his family. He has a son. He has a daughter. He has a clone of a daughter. He has, you know, a home, and his kids are his home now. And I like that for him. But I hope you enjoyed this retelling of Wolverine's origin from the story Origin. Good old 2001-2002 six-issue miniseries. Highly recommend you read the whole thing. Get all the details. Look at the beautiful art. Enjoy this part of comics history. And until next time, be good, be kind, be brave. Read more comics. And thank you for listening to the show. And thank you if you are a patron. I appreciate you so much. Have a good one. Be kind to yourself.